What's up, guys? Welcome to the 50th episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. You know me by now, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And you know what time it is, guys? It is time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. 50 episodes in the can. Before we even get started, I just want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for, keeping me going. 50 episodes, that's quite a milestone for me. You know, sometimes I'm really into things and then randomly that kind of excitement falls by the wayside. Not with this, man. 50 episodes in. And it just seems like only yesterday doing a podcast seemed like something that was impossible or something scary, and now it's the most natural thing to me. So I'm very excited that we're 50 episodes in. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate that. Also, recently, we just surpassed the 10,000 downloads mark. Very stoked on that. Lot of great growth that's been going on here in the first year. I want to continue that into year two, give you guys some new and exciting content, some more interesting content coming your way. And if you have any feedback, please feel free to leave it, man. 5-star review would be great. But if you just have any ideas, comments, questions, concerns, feel free to hit me up, SeanVersusWild@gmail.com. You can always message me on my Facebook, Sean versus Wild, Facebook.com/SeanVersusWild, and we'll make it happen. I'd love to hear from you guys. So today on the show, I'm talking to some good friends of mine. I'm talking to Rob and Mark from Moonwalker, and I toured with Moonwalker, the guys in Moonwalker, in their old band, Reckless Serenade. Love these guys to death. Very excited for their new musical project, Moonwalker. You know how much, I mean, the band name itself just really jumps out at me. You know how big of an MJ fan I am. I've got a Michael Jackson tattoo. Michael Jackson cardboard cutout overlooks the podcast area here at the Smithsonian. My favorite artist of all time. So yeah, a band called Moonwalker, right up my alley. But you're going to love them. They got their brand new single, Window Shopping. That's going on the show today as well. So you're definitely going to want to check it out. And they're fun dudes, funny guys. I caught up with them on tour. They were nice enough to take a break there and call in and do something. God bless technology, guys. It's 2017. It's about to be 2018. We're harnessing technology to get the job done. So very cool. Very cool. Also very cool that you guys have been supporting me this whole time. And I just want to say thank you again. I say thank you all the time, but I mean it because I love you guys. So thank you very much. If you like what you hear, please like, share, and subscribe across social media. Also, check out these sponsors that help keep the lights on here at the Smithsonian. I'm talking about the OG sponsor, Audiophile Inc. Shane at Audiophile Inc. just printed up a whole new batch of merchandise for me, and he can do it for you as well. Just go to audiophileinc.com, talk to Shane. He's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town that you live in. And if you are interested in some new merch, I'm talking sweatshirts and hooded sweatshirts just in time because it's cold as H-E-C-K outside. So yeah, it's very cold. You're going to want a Sean vs. Wild hoodie or some new t-shirts, whatever. Hit me up on that. Again, SeanVersusWild@gmail.com or shoot me a Facebook message. We'll get something out to you. I will ship worldwide. So if you want it, we'll make it happen. Also, check out my brand new sponsor, Audible. You guys know Audible. It's an Amazon company. They're dealing out audiobooks. They're giving you a free 30-day trial just for being a listener, just for being a listener to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And all you have to do to reap the rewards of this, guys, is go to www.audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild and sign up for your free 30 days. You're going to get a free audiobook. You have over 180,000 audiobooks for you to choose from. So there's going to be something that's right up your alley. Get it. And when you do so, they're going to give me money. They're going to take money out of their pocket and put it in my pocket. And that helps because I'm self-funding all of this. Everything that you hear and have heard from me from the last 50 episodes is done right off of my dime. So not making a lot of income yet on the show, but that's my dream. My dream is to, of course, be a podcaster full time and figure out a way to harness that monetarily. So this is a good way for me to do that and help me and help the show in the process. Every dollar just goes right back into the production of the show. So, and thanks so much. 50 episodes in. You're going to love it. Today I'm talking with Moonwalker. Like I said, you're going to love that. New t-shirts, you're going to love those. And big thanks to Joe Brock. You're going to love him. So I think I've gotten everything out of the way here for the intro. Let's get wild. Mark the Shark Neidhart and Rob the Tom Cruise finally on my show.
What's up, dude?
Asad.
Finally, we're here. We made it.
I gave you a
cool new... step foot inside the Smithsonian.
Yeah, the virtual Smithsonian, harnessing the power of 21st century technology. I was able to get you guys into this virtual Smithsonian. I was surprised all three of us fit in here, but it's turning out pretty well. It's turning out pretty well, I'm not going to lie.
It's a little warm.
it's a little crowded, kind of stuffy.
I read the Smithsonian, I just picture you in like an exhibit in the Smithsonian, and then when it closes, you just like come to life and make podcasts with Ben Stiller.
Yeah, it's like a night at the museum, dude. I've already got the mustache, so just like Robin Williams, RIP.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, you mean I mean Teddy Roosevelt, RIP. Sorry. Teddy Roosevelt jokes, too soon.
Nah, I'm down with the old Teddy Rose jokes.
Dude, Rob, how do you like the new nickname I gave you? The Tom.
I like it, man. I don't have too many nicknames, so to have any at all, great.
This was
I'm
really growing on me.
Listening to Bert, actually, I'm like every once in a while, I want to be referred to as Bert, and hopefully, when I'm like 45, I'll just be 100% Bert, and that'll be my final form, my final breath.
Until my final breath, until the end of my days, I'll be Bert from now on.
Yeah, came into this world, Robert, left it a Bert.
Left it a Bert, dude, and I left my footprint on the world, you know, my Bert print.
my Bert print, dude. I mean, like to call Rob Bert when he's up to no good.
Yes.
Then he becomes Bert.
Bert's on the liquor again.
I feel like Bert
again.
Bert should definitely be my drunk alter ego for sure.
Exactly. Bert's on the liquor again, guys. Perfect. Well, guys, everyone for tuning in. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the Sean versus Wild podcast. And joining me in the virtual Smithsonian today, I've got longtime fans of the show. You guys support the show. I'm into that. But I've got Rob Cruise. I've got Mark Neidhart, good friends of mine, with their new band, Moonwalker, a name that I absolutely love. Rob, why don't you tell the people out there the origin behind the name Moonwalker?
Well, Mark came up with the name, but for us, it kind of makes sense because it's a lot of spacey elements musically, and then also we'd like to add a dancey twist on it, so, and also, you know, obviously the Michael Jackson reference with all that. Fun together, so it just made sense.
Yes, the Michael Jackson reference, like, for sure. But also, don't be shy. Why don't you tell everyone why you are actually in a band called Moonwalker? Go ahead.
I'm known to cut a rug, dude.
That's very true.
I'll moonwalk if I have to.
We had many a nice little dance-off on some of our previous tours together, and your moonwalk, I must say, you can do it on all terrain. Very impressive.
All terrain.
Yeah, dude. I'll moonwalk on a mountain, in a parking lot, on some dirt, maybe some rocks.
Yeah, dude.
You can do it anywhere, man.
It's not. There's nothing that's going to come between you and the music, dude. You're a slave to the rhythm.
Yeah. If there's a beat, I'm going to throw it down for sure.
So, guys, for those of you tuning in, if you're not familiar with Moonwalker yet, let me tell you, you might have heard of the previous band, Reckless Serenade, and that's how I first met these guys, because when I was in Uh-Huh Baby Yeah back in the days, let me go ahead and rehash the old glory days, like I'm that guy at the bar talking about throwing a football a quarter mile. But back in my glory days, our bands toured together. Reckless Serenade, Uh-Huh Baby Yeah, and Assuming We Survive, which you've heard on the show already. And I just had to get the boys on here because that was probably one of the greatest months out of my entire life, hanging out with you guys and the dudes in Assuming.
Yeah, me too, man. It was awesome because I felt like all the personalities really meshed, like, immediately. It was kind of wild. I feel like every time you go into a new tour with a new band, you hope for the best, but I feel like I was just best case scenario in general.
Yeah. I wonder if you'll ever find, or if not you guys, well, I mean, just in general, if I'll ever find something like that, because literally the second we met up, we became great friends, mutual respect for all of our music that we were making. And then, you know, randomly somewhere along the way, Mark and I became elite members of the World Dryer Corps.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, that's where we actually met. It wasn't through touring.
Yes. I've tried to church up our backstory. You know, we've been just lowly serfs. We've been working our way up the corporate ladder at World Dryer Corps, making automated hand dryers for those of you out there that have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. I forget. I think that started when we had just stopped at a rest stop, and I think you were, one of us was coming out of the bathroom as the other one was going in. And I think you said, you were like, oh, just another day at the office, World Dryer Corp.
Yeah, because the automated hand dryer said World Dryer Corporation or what have you on it. And it was like one of those just dumb things we said to each other in passing, just like, oh, World Dryer Corp, huh? Taking over the world. Another day at the office. Something like that. And then for like the next year and a half, we've been texting each other fictitious scenarios about working at the World Dryer Corps, the World Dryer Corporation.
You know, we sent in our applications and the rest is history.
The rest is history. That's true. We've just been working our way up the corporate ladder, you know. See, right now I'm in sales, but soon I'll be regional manager.
Ooh. I was actually thinking right before this, at the beginning of the tour, I was cracking up, dude. But we were still like getting to know each other and like memorizing everyone's names. I remember Corey, Will, and Matt were like in the distance, and you're like, "What are their names?" And then I told you, and when they all walked up, I said, "Oh, Corey, Will, Matt, how the hell are you?"
Yes, that was a classic. It's like, "What are these three dudes' names?" Corey, Will, and Matt. Yeah, and as soon as they walked up, Corey, Will, Matt, how the hell are you? Nice to see you guys.
Unbelievable, dude.
Just moving beyond that, the whole persona of the guy that talks like, "Hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you." Like, that's a joke that we have at home, like, even before we met you guys. So to just meet more people that are into that, like, voice was pretty nuts to begin with.
Yeah, that's a great and character.
And to this day, too, I still tell people about how you love when people go out of their way to curse and also not to curse.
Yeah, that's absolutely...
Dude, he's like, "I don't give a fucking crap."
Dude, I don't want to sound like a fucking b-hole or anything, but that's one of my favorites where you don't even say "but." You just I don't want to sound like a fucking b-hole or anything, man, but I'm bad into it. You guys listen to the Summer Youth. I know you were telling me that you listened to the episode I did with Summer Youth, and their drummer specifically does not cuss for his own personal reasons. And so I always have a field day with that because I just genuinely think it's hilarious to not swear. Just to be an adult in this day and age where most people swear, regularly in their conversations, to be somebody that purposely says alternate words is hilarious to me. Like, man, I don't give a frig. I'm bad into it.
No, that really is sick.
So
yeah, dude, I'll shove it right where the sun don't shine, dude.
I swear to God I will, brother. Don't even tempt me, man. So, and you guys right now currently are in Los Angeles. I saw you on Venice Beach, obviously, Rob, Mark. I'm sure you guys were working out most of the day, you know, out on Muscle Beach, hanging and banging. You know, soaking up the rays.
Yeah, I was helping out the locals, showing them the technique in general.
Yeah, providing some spots.
Yeah. That's the least I can do, man. When we pass through these places, I just try and, just get reps in and just teach what I know.
Yeah, that's just spread my knowledge to those out there. You know, I can't say that I blame you. So I know that's, on our first tour together, that's the first thing I noticed about you. You're a teacher. That's for sure. Teaching everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That
in the body, sure.
That's true. Yeah. I was like, dude, how do I work this thigh master? And you're like, here, let me show you.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I'll let you step into the dojo next time I see you.
Step into the dojo. That's great. And then, you know, right after the tour that we did together, you guys got the call that you were doing the Warped Tour barbecue band. Now, we've been the barbecue band before previously, but when I went to the old WT, if you will, that year, word was out on Mark and Rob and the gang because of your skills behind the grills.
It's true. I feel like Mark's the grill master.
Yeah, I mean, we got the bat phone rang, I guess. Kevin Lyman had seen pictures of us grilling on the internet. And then was like, threw us on as a barbecue band. And let me just say, touring with you guys before Warped Tour and you giving us all the insider tips and all that, like, was a huge help in us, like, getting our sea legs when it first started. Because, I don't know if it was probably the same for you guys, but they just throw you in and they're like, here's a grill, here's $400. Like, we're grilling tonight. So just, like, having the firsthand experience from you guys definitely helped us out a ton. But still, like, a whirlwind of shit going on, like, right when you get there. So it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, they just like, here's a grill, here's $400, and we're grilling tonight. Make good choices, and then you got to feed, you know, 1,000 people on the tour.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. I got to say that I was really impressed that Corey was able to keep his voice the whole time in, because even without being the barbecue band alone, that schedule is super grueling. And then just like the schedule is so nuts because you're like up right when the festival starts, then you're working the line, and then you play, and then we go to Costco, get all the food, and then we have another team getting the grill ready and stuff like that. And then we'll grill till like midnight, and then we got to clean up, and then we didn't have a driver, so then we drove overnight to the place. So if I got like 2 hours of sleep, I'm like, what am I, the Queen of England or something? Like, this is nuts. It's usually like 1 hour of sleep. So the fact that Corey kept his voice the whole time really blows my mind.
Yeah, you know, I've said that in previous podcasts and interviews and things that I've done as a guest. It's the most grueling, as a barbecue band or something like that, it's the most grueling position on the tour. I mean, you really kind of earn your stripes and cut your teeth on that, because like you said, 2-3 hours of sleep, yeah, you feel like the Queen of England. And there's got to be a reason why Monster sponsors that tour, you know, because I feel like there were just days where it's like, oh, is this my sixth Monster of the day? You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
But you got to do what you got to do if you want to stay up and make it happen.
Yeah, and it blew my mind seeing those tour butters. Because when I would just see videos of Warped Tour, I was like, man, these fans drink so much Monster.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, how is anyone alive? But nope, just water in a can, people.
Yes, the secret behind the Warped Tour, water in a can. You know, there would be people that would come to our tent and stuff, and they would just be like, oh, man, how can you guys drink Monster in this heat? And it's like, dude, it's water. And they're like, oh, my God, I'll give you $5 for one, because they just thought the can was crazy.
Yeah.
So we would have people, like, literally try to buy at our tent, not our merch, but our tour water, so they had a souvenir tour water Monster can.
That's the classic like series of events that happens when you tell somebody that it's not Monster, it's water. They go through the phase of being surprised, and then they're like, can you give me one, please?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, may I have one, please? I'll give you $10 for one, please. Like it's limited edition or something. This must be a misprint, dude. There's nothing but water in here.
But dude, I remember like how bad it was, because they only give you like a case or two like during the day, and then there would be nights where we would finish all of our water and it would be after the grill, where like we're all sweaty and like filled with burger grease and all that, and we're trying to find the water, and no one has water, and were just like, please, somebody help.
And you guys are just head to toe covered. Yeah, covered in like soot from the grill. Please, sir, may I have a water?
Soot.
I don't know
from the mine.
I don't know if you heard this story, but at Jones Beach, that shit really hit the fan. So usually with the grill, we would at the end of the night, we would put the coals out with like extra waters or even like beer that we had, and the grill was so huge, as you know, that we didn't even have a trailer. We just hooked the grill up to the van, so we had limited storage. So once we put the grill out, we would put like tables and like leftover beer and stuff in the grill. And I guess when we got into Jones Beach, we didn't put out the coals enough. And I just remember waking up to the grill in flames. Just at like 8 in the morning, beers are exploding and flying all over the place. And then there's like the fire department's called. There's like a bunch of cop cars. We get banned from the premises. And then we come back like an hour later and wash all the melted plastic off the grill, because we kept these tables in there, and it was just a shit show. And then we grilled that night.
That could not have been safe chemically.
Yeah, they definitely did a thorough wash of the grill. There was a couple people watching over us.
That's great.
That was crazy, man.
Yeah, dude, I can't believe that too. I mean, but when they have you haul the grill, you said you have limited storage and you just got to take everything with you. I'm just genuinely surprised, because that grill is the same one that I saw, you know, in previous years. How does it make it on the road? That's a grueling trip. Vans don't make it. Real trailers don't make it. Somehow the grill makes it every time.
Yeah, I think we had to replace one of the wheels once, but other than that, and you know, the whole bursting in the flames thing, not too many problems.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'm surprised too, with as many things that have been grilled on that, like a grease fire hasn't happened regularly.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you really realize how much shit Kevin Lyman's seen, because just the sense of calm in that dude. But he rolled up, he was like, "Oh, all right, here's what we do. Boom, 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 boom." And he just took it in his stride. That dude seen it all.
That's true. I would love to get him on the show just to talk about some of the stuff that he's done. So anybody out there, if you can hook that up, I'd be more than happy to have old Kevin Lyman on to talk about all the grill shenanigans, amongst other shenanigans. I'm sure that happens on the daily on Warped Tour, on the WT.
Yes.
And Mark, so you're the grill master, okay? Let's continue on this theme, because I love grilled food. You're the grill master. Tell me your the best burger that you've made. What's your recommended burger? What's your signature dish?
There is a signature Neidhart burger that was birthed on the road. And it's pretty simple, but not too many people think about it. You take, you got your two buns.
Right.
I like to mix it up. I throw a splash of barbecue sauce on the bottom bun before anything else even hits it.
Okay.
Then on top of that, we're going to throw a piece of cheddar cheese. Of the cheeses, it's a little bit of a more stronger cheese. Then you're going to throw your burger down. I usually like to use the Schweid & Sons burgers. They sponsored a barbecue on Warped Tour, and they've got great meat. Then on top of the burger, you follow it with a piece of Munster cheese, the most outspoken cheese on the market. And so the mixture of the two cheeses and the barbecue sauce and the top bun, then you have your Neidhart classic burger.
What do you call that?
Hear this. It's a cheeseburger.
Guys, hold on to your hats.
Cheeseburger.
Yo, between you and me,
It's the cheeseburger.
Dude, no one's going to get that other than the fact that you were always talking about your special Neidhart burger. And I was like whispering to you guys, like pulled you guys over together and just was like, hold on to your hats, guys. I call this. Look around. And then whisper, a cheeseburger. Huh?
Oh, that was funny.
Dude, Mark, you just killed that description because you and I share a big passion for HGTV, and that just seems like something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just seemed that your description, Munster, the most outspoken of all cheeses.
I feel like that's something you pick up if you watch enough HGTV, is just how to describe, like, absolute nonsense.
Yeah, inanimate objects and things like that, how to describe them to make them so tantalizing.
Yeah.
The most outspoken of all cheeses. That's great.
The most outspoken of the cheeses.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's another thing that we bonded on was just our love for the Property Brothers, House Hunters, House Hunters International, Tiny House Hunters, you know. It's kind of our thing, Mark.
The series.
It's kind of our those are our stories, as our mothers would call them, our stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
at Drew Scott, it'd be great to have Drew Scott on the phone.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and four-way Drew Scott in here? Let's make that happen, guys. Love it or list it, Drew. What do you think? He's not on Love It or List It.
Love it,
love it. Yeah. So once you guys get back from Warped Tour, though, Reckless Serenade, I just see that Reckless Serenade basically parts and splits into two parts. One with Moonwalker, and then Corey has his own project going on as well, too. Broken Bellows.
Yeah, Broken Bellows.
So what caused...
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, man.
What caused this madness, bro? Fill me in on the deets. Fill the listeners in on the deets here.
Mark, do you want to take this one?
Yes, I think it was like towards the end of the year when after we'd finished Warped Tour, I think there was a lot of just like writing differences, and then I think like differences in work ethic in the band and like how seriously we actually wanted to take it. And so I think it just came down to like everyone wanting to do different things, like musically and like what they wanted to do with music. And so I think everyone ended up doing for the most part, like what they really wanted to do, where me and Rob want to tour and like be in a band. And Corey and Will, I think, are more on like the, just like writing music for publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, it just came down to like just wanting different career paths, I think. I think we've both said it, like it's worked out for the best, right? I think like everybody's happy with what they're doing now.
Yeah, man, for sure. And I think like you said, Corey and Will, they're super into like the writing world and recording and doing all that. They work really well together. I was actually just listening to their new EP, The Card Table. It's super, super sick. Really like kind of with Reckless Serenade, how like every song sounded like almost a different genre. It's kind of like that, and just really eclectic, and everyone should go check it out. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, I just checked out one of their music videos the other day, and for I guess one of their newest music videos, and very awesome. It was very blown away. And you know what, guys? Kevin Lyman, Drew Scott, and then, hey, Corey, if you're listening, come on and get on the show, guys. All three of you. We'll have a great podcast with all of you. So Broken Bellows, Kevin Lyman, and Drew Scott, all on the same episode. Tune in for that. But yeah. So and then, how does Moonwalker begin from there? I guess.
So I basically called up Rob and I was like, because me and Rob didn't talk for like a couple weeks because of just like the band split or whatever, so everything was kind of like up in the air. And then I just called Rob on the phone and I was like, yo dude, like, would you want to try and start like another band and like learning everything we learned from Reckless Serenade and like everything we learned from that, just trying to start like a new band and take it seriously and like this be the band that like gets somewhere, because it's like I don't want to be the dude who just like keeps starting bands and like keeps starting over and never gets anywhere. So it's kind of like a phone call where it was like, yo, dude, like if you want to do this, like let's do it for real and let's like see how far we can take it. And so he was on board. I think Rob was like, I think I called him like at night and he was like, I'm out right now. Can I call you the, like tomorrow morning? It was cool. So the Rob was on board and then we found, two other guys that I had known from other bands, like around where I'm from in New York. And yeah, we've been having a blast ever since.
That's awesome though. Do you feel like, and I don't want to blame it on Warped Tour, but I just know like it's such a strenuous tour. Do you think that puts a strain on your personal relationships amongst you and your fellow band members? Because I feel like you're so close and you have only each other to depend on for like, you know, 3 months, and you basically are living with each other, like, and on top of each other and like sharing what little space you have with each other for so long that when you get home, you're just like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely for the better, because I think it's the kind of tour where, like, if you can do Warped Tour with your band and, like, not kill each other, then, like, you guys have said it too, like, if you can do that, you can do mostly any tour.
Yeah.
And I think it's, like, it definitely like, shows you who people are for real. And just doing that much work for that long a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely.
Yeah, it'll definitely.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It'll definitely wear you down to the point. It's all good, man. It'll wear you down to the point where you don't even have the energy to put up like a facade at all. So if you have any chinks in your armor or anything like that, it's gonna come out sooner or later. So that, I guess like. You know, it's kind of the shitty part and the best part about doing that tour, especially as the barbecue band, man. Because I don't know, really forces you to look at your own shit and see what you got to do better. Like on and off stage, man. Just like if musically you got to get tighter, or you kind of realize when you're around people for too long, you can be kind of a dick.
Yep.
At the end of Warped Tour and at the end of every tour in general, I feel like just as a person, I get a little bit better, because you really just, I don't know, get to learn a lot about yourself. I feel like when you're spending that much time with people and you're just putting yourself in uncomfortable situations all the time, you adapt or die, as this band says.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And you're 100% correct on that. So basically, you get so worn down, you can't even put up a facade anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Of even being nice. You know, towards the end, you're just like, you know what? Fuck you. You're lazy. Am I the only one working around here? Blah, 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 blah. And then people are like, dude, you're a jerk. You know, you're just rude. So,
yeah.
Been there, done
like
that.
Like, you, Yeah, man. I would do this thing where I would have the fights in my head, so I wouldn't have them like in real life. I was like, if he said this, then I would bring this up. And then if he said this, then I would say that. Oh, that would be good. I hope he said something to me.
You know what? I wish he would. I wish he would say something like that to me. I've been stockpiling ammo.
But we really didn't have too many blowouts. I don't think we had any blowouts within the band at all. I feel like that band kept everything inside for sure.
And it all just came out in the wash later, right?
Yep.
Hey, well, way to stay professional out there, guys. I wish I could say the same. But, yeah, so... Yeah. So to change the subject here a little bit, because, you know, we're not here to talk about the negative, but even though it is interesting, it is insightful for, you know, people to kind of realize that like bands on tour are just like brothers or family or something, and or whatever. You get too close with people and like after a while they just like start to annoy you to no end. But speaking of bands that don't annoy me to no end, I'm talking about Moonwalker. I'm talking about your guys' band. Love the jams, okay? So it's right up my alley. You know how I feel about Michael Jackson, okay? So the band name Moonwalker, immediately I was like, oh, this is for me.
Yeah, man.
Hi, diddly-dee, is this for me? So, love it. And let's go ahead and play one of your new jams because you have prepared something really special for the Sean versus Wild podcast. Maybe something at this point that's never been heard by any other human ears besides your own and those that you work with. But like, would you dare say this is an exclusive track?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's not exclusive
at this point. But this is going to be, this is a new song, basically, is what I'm saying. Okay. Whether other people have heard it or not, this is definitely a new track, fresh off the, I don't know, the wax, fresh off the cutter, fresh out of the computer, whatever. You have brought with you.
Yeah. So, fresh off the floppy disk.
Yes. Fresh off the, the floppy, the 3.5-inch floppy. Tell everybody about the song that you have prepared today.
Yeah, this the song's called Window Shopping. It's a new one, and lyrically it's just kind of about trying to become the man you want to be and kind of wanting to have a story that people talk about after you're gone. And that's what it's about. And the name Window Shopping comes from the first verse. I'm still figuring out who I want to be as a person, and I feel like I'm as I grow up, I'm like trying on these different personalities and just seeing what fits. And I don't have the currency, emotionally or experience wise to really buy any of the personalities yet. So for now, I just feel like I'm window shopping until I can figure it out.
That's deep,
dude. That makes sense.
That's cutting.
Yeah, man.
You've cut me to the quick, Rob, Bert. So, but yeah, well, guys, let's go ahead and check it out. This is Window Shopping by Moonwalker.
Down.
right, guys, that was Window Shopping by Moonwalker, bringing you back down from space, but still taking you to Toontown. You wanted me to say it. I'll say it, guys. Taking you to Toontown. That was Moonwalker. Guys, loving the new track. Loving the new track there. You guys are, like, I mean, from all the songs that I've heard, you guys have put out, what, 3 singles so far? This is your 4th at this point? Every time,
yeah,
bro. I'm really digging it. Love the new sound. Spacey, atmospheric, dancey. You know what I'm saying? You guys can. Is there anything you guys can't
you,
do? Is there anything you guys can't do? That's the real question.
We never did country.
Not yet, anyway.
I'm not against it. I fucked with some country, man.
Did you say you slept with some country, man?
Yeah, some country men.
I don't know what you said, but that's exactly what it sounded like.
Damn, dude, I just stepped into the octagon, dude.
Gotcha. I slept with some country men, so I'm not against it. Fair enough.
I feel like country is like, country and metal are like my favorite genres to drink to, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, oddly enough, I had a group on here called Order of Leviathan, and they're like a black metal band from here in Louisville. And then afterwards, me and their guitarist just cracked open a case of Coors Lights, and only from, you know, the hours of, say, 11 to 4 a.m., 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., only YouTubed like country music from 1985 to 2000. That's all we watched. That's all we listened to, and we just pounded these Coors Lights.
Fuck it. No Florida Georgia Line.
No Florida Georgia Line. But you know, a lot of Travis Tritt there. So yeah, and dude, the concept of window shopping. You know, when you said, you know, you're just kind of figuring out the kind of person that you want to be. Man, what kind of person do you want to be, bro? Like, let's get deep with you. Let's get deep with you guys here. What kind of person are you trying to be here?
I don't know, man. It's really hard to find out. I think I really just want to be a dude who just is super sure of what he's doing at all times and has just a good purpose, you know? I feel like being in my early 20s right now, everything's kind of self-driven, and I'm just trying to make things happen for me. But one day I really want to turn that outward and really kind of serve other people, whether that be a family or whatever, man.
You just want to do the right thing. You want to be a good person and do the good stuff. I feel that.
Yeah. I want to have a solid moral fiber for sure.
But I also want to party, you know, that's the way I am. I'm like, dude, I want to be of solid moral fiber, but I still like to party.
Yeah, man, and I forget where I heard this quote, but like your childhood is where like little things get flipped in and make you kind of weird, and then your 20s, that kind of comes out, and then you're kind of dealing with that, and then by your 30s and 40s, you have it more figured out, and then that's like kind of more the person that you're going to be forever. Granted, people change, of course, but I feel like this is really a time where I'm just learning a shit ton about myself and trying to see what's good and what's not good.
I feel that.
Because I feel like the hardest thing for me to do is to just look at certain aspects of myself and be like, damn, that's pretty shitty. I feel like this agenda isn't pushed enough. Like, I feel like a little personal shame is okay once in a while.
Yeah.
Just being like, just wanting to improve a little bit. I mean, within reason. Don't be too hard on yourself. But, yeah, man.
You just got to draw that line because, yeah, you definitely, I'm a big fan of always keep improving. You know what I'm saying? But I do get down on myself when I'm like, man, I haven't done this exactly 100%. the strictest, strongest way possible. But, you know, it's just, you know, like you said, you're on a learning curve. You're learning every single day. And, but yeah, self-improvement is key, man. You always got to keep moving forward. You got to stay interested and you got to stay interesting. It's the key to a long, happy, healthy life. And that was a quote from Florence Henderson, the mom from the Brady Bunch. So there you go. So
yeah, there you go.
There you go, bro. So yeah. But yeah, Moonwalker. Currently, you guys are currently on tour. But I know earlier. Well, when I say currently, as the time of this recording, you guys will be back by the time this airs. But earlier this year, you guys got to go back on the road with our good friends. And Assuming We Survive, how was that?
That was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was tough not talking to each other. But, yeah, it was tight being that that was, like, our first tour as Moonwalker, like, coming out and being able to support Assuming, and those guys are always awesome. And then shout out to Eva, Beta Booking, all in the same family. So that's always nice. But, yeah, those guys, we met you guys and them at the same time. Like, those guys are, like, our older brothers. Like, they taught us a lot for sure. And it was just cool to like, from them knowing Reckless Serenade to being able to show them this band, like, live firsthand for them to see it. It was, like, a really cool thing. And for them to, like, give us feedback on it was cool. But, yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all those guys.
Kevin from Mahan Baby Yeah got a chance to do a little, do a few dates. And he was always telling me, he was like, man, he's like, you got to get Moonwalker on the show because their new band is just fantastic. So that's some high praise there from old Kevin Fletcher, which I was like, dudes, I got to get Moonwalker on the show anyway, because you guys not only are awesome, but big fans of the show, which I appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully this, you know, listening to these podcasts, you know, hopefully you guys can at least kill an hour or so whenever you're making your long trips.
Yeah, man, definitely a big fan of the podcast, and I don't think we ever did like a podcast before. So this is my first time doing it, so it was kind of exciting because I'm just a huge fan of podcasts in general. So,
what are some of your favorite ones?
Definitely a fun podcast. Well, Sean versus Wild, of course.
You're just saying that.
I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. I'm a huge comedy fan, so. There's a podcast called Tuesdays with Stories. That's great. I like Joe Rogan's podcast a lot. I'm always listening to that. Chris D'Elia, congratulations. He has a great podcast. You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. Just to name a few for you.
Yeah. What about you, Mark? Which ones are you into?
Yeah, I'm not so. I just recently, like, Rob's been getting me into podcasts like this year because I was never like a podcast guy. But yeah, kind of same as like, I'll throw yours on and I'll throw on Joe Rogan every once in a while, just cause he has so many, he's got like so many different people on there. But yeah, I'm always between those two. I like hearing your voice. It makes me feel like I'm home.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Well, you know, I actually just got to a point, and I'm sure you do too, where you're just like, hey guys, and if you haven't yet, you will, where you're like in the van and stuff and you're like, I'm just like, no more. I don't want to hear any more songs. I don't want to hear the radio. I don't want to hear the CDs that we have in the van. Like, I'm just done with it. And when I got so tired of listening to music, I just started listening to podcasts. And honestly, like, I just totally fell in love with the format, the medium. That's kind of why I do one now. And then also, like, maybe 6 months ago, I started listening to music again, and it was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I actually really enjoy music again. Great.
Yeah, for sure.
That is.
Go ahead, Ron.
I feel like, for me, like, I love jamming out tunes while I'm driving, but for the most part, if it's a long drive, like I drive like 2.5 hours to practice. And if I didn't have podcasts, man, this drive should be rough. It's just so engaging. And especially when it's just a good conversation, you feel like you're in the conversation. You feel like you're just hanging out with friends, just shooting the shit. And then
It makes the time go by so much faster.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion.
Do you like audiobooks at all?
No, actually. I got to get into those.
Dude, I suggest giving it a whirl. The show is sponsored by Audible. So, for one, I'm not just going to shamelessly plug this, but you guys can get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial of Audible by going to audibletrial.com/SeanVsWild. But the thing is the reason why I bring that up is because I decided, I was like, well, hell, I'll get an Audible. And never really were into audiobooks before, and now I'm like kind of into them. It's like a podcast, but I always get the really super long audiobooks too. So like anything that I wanted to read that was like over 1,000 pages or something, I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm going to get these like 40, 50, 60 plus hour audiobooks. So I feel like I really get my free books worth. But it's it's great, man, because it's like listening to 60 hour long podcasts. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely keeps the time passing. You know what I'm saying? Especially like if you're doing a long drive or something, it makes it go by pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I got to get into that because I want to get into a lot of nonfiction. I feel like I would, because I love watching interviews and stuff, and I feel like I would really love a good biography or autobiography or something like that. I like learning stuff, and I like hearing people's stories too.
I agree. Mark, what about you? What kind of stuff are you into? What kind of, are you into audiobooks at all? Or what kind of, you know?
I've been, so our bass player, Brian, is a big book guy. And he was helping me find a book. We were in this really cool bookstore in LA. I think it was called like the Bookworm or something. It's like this huge bookstore. I could see what you mean about audiobooks, because I've just been trying to read this book, and I feel like after like 10, 20 pages, I'm just like, damn, I hate like reading, you know?
Well, especially if you're on the road,
get, like, tired.
You get so distracted. And yeah, I would do the same thing. Like I would just get tired because I'm like focusing on it and with the, you know, just kind of the scenery going by and, you know, the slight rocking of the van. Like after a while, you're just like, I'm about to pass out. I'm about to fall asleep right here.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I've been getting into this book that's really cool called Dark Money, and it's just about like the behind the scenes people in politics that like donate like millions of dollars. And I'm like super into that kind of shit, so it's been good to be like interested in the book. It like keeps me reading it. Yeah, something light, something real light, you know.
Yes, exactly. Well, how's this tour going, guys? Because you're currently, as we're recording this, you guys have a few days off, as we may have mentioned in LA, but, how's the tour in general been going, this go round?
It's been going really good. Like, we were just saying the last show we played at, the Carmen Bar, we had this, like, during the set, we could like actually, there's no way to describe it other than like being there, but we could sort of like the whole room was vibing with us and we could all like feel just that like everybody was into the shit that we were doing. And it was just like a really cool feeling to have everybody in the room. Just like you feel their energy sort of like all together.
Yeah. That always helps whenever somebody's like vibing back with you, you get that energy back from the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's really like the energy that like, for me, like the energy I put out is like based off like the energy that people give us. So it's like the best feeling in the world to have a whole room of people just like visibly stoked on what you're doing. It helps me like put on like a better show.
Yeah. And, also too, with this band, a lot of our songs are getting progressively dancier, the more songs we write, and the whole, like the majority of our set is getting super dancey, and it's really fun to do live. Cause, going back to Warped Tour, the main lesson that I personally learned was noticing a lot of the hardcore bands that were on the bill, even if they didn't have too big of a following, they almost always had a pretty sizable crowd that was getting into it, because you didn't need to know the songs beforehand to enjoy it live, because, you know, the energy is so high and there's the breakdowns and kids know how to, they know what to do when that breakdown comes in no matter what. So
right.
I feel like with this band that the goal was kind of to make make it dancey and fun, so you didn't have to know the songs beforehand to just have a good time live. I feel like sometimes, especially at the level we're at, the sound's not always going to be great. So sometimes if you don't know the song, it just kind of sounds like a bunch of low end and just drums and stuff. But with this band, I feel like the rhythm is the primary aspect of the song.
Right.
So if you can't really hear what's going on, at least there's a beat you could dance to.
Yeah, even just like kind of like if you go out to the club or something, like if there were a band, playing, it doesn't really matter if you've heard of that band or not. You go there so you can dance. You go there so you can get down. So if the music is good, people are going to be able to respond to it. They just, like you said, I never really thought about that way with hardcore music, but it's like, yeah, once the breakdown hits, you know what to do. Same with, dance music. You don't necessarily have to be completely familiar with the band, but you know when you feel the groove that, that you're going to do a little moonwalking.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Yeah, because that was the one thing with Reckless Serenade being more on the pop punk side. I felt like a lot of it is like pretty guitar driven, but also pop punk is way more enjoyable, in my opinion, when you know the words. Because a big element of pop punk is just that whole crowd just like screaming those words, like right in the singer's face, and then like stage diving, stuff like that. I feel like the sing along is like a huge aspect of pop punk.
That's true. I never thought about maybe a huge portion of the energy. Yeah. Cause I've seen that a million times, but yeah, playing pop punk music, it's always kind of it's like, hey, you have to be a known band to get that sort of thing, because you're not going to just have people, participating if they have no idea who you are.
Right, exactly. And then sometimes live, even just like between songs, especially at this level, where you'll just hear a band talking and the mic just sounds so muffled, you don't even know what he's saying live. And sometimes it's really hard to betray. But yeah, man, I guess just the main goal when this band started was to just really work on the live show. And I feel like that's the most important thing in general, because I feel like nowadays with technology, it's so easy for anyone to make a good sounding recording. So I feel like it's almost a rare commodity to be a decent live band.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that was the biggest thing for any of my projects that I've had before, and you guys saw us play live, was the live show was just everything. Anybody can do a decent recording, but it is just all about your stage show and your stage presence and your stage persona and being kind of larger than life sometimes, or taking, playing music to like a different level live than you would, than you can on your record, or that you can like at practice and stuff like that. That's always, I feel the same way is basically what I'm saying. I agree.
Yeah. And for me, just as a consumer, I get really into a band if they have like a lot of live videos online. I don't know. As a consumer, I feel like it's just really rewarding when you can see that the band can really pull it off live. Like I said, almost anyone could, make something sound good through a computer.
Sure. Let me ask you this question, Rob, Mark. I'll ask you, Rob, first. Mark, this will give you time to think. What was the best live act you've seen, and what was the most disappointing live act you've seen?
Wow. I would say probably the best live act I've ever seen. Oh, man. Can I do a tie?
Yeah, sure.
It's tied with Ed Sheeran. That dude's unbelievable. Just with the loop station, and his voice is so perfect. And I've never seen a singer-songwriter bring so much energy to a show and just engage the crowd that much. That I've seen, he's like one of my favorites of all time. I love that guy. And then he's tied with Foxy Shazam.
Nice.
Foxy Shazam is unbelievable. live band. Eric Canale, one of the most underrated frontmen ever. That dude's unbelievable. I do like mic stand tricks because of him. He's fucking amazing and disappointing. Oh man, disappointing.
You ever been disappointed, Rob?
In life, yeah. many a times. I don't know, but one's not coming to mind right now. I don't go to concerts as much as I should.
Well, you know, I've seen a few bands. Okay, just to give you my opinion on it, unless Mark, you've come up with something, but I will say, like, okay, so my favorite. Go ahead.
The most disappointing one, I guess, I saw the Wonder Years. They played acoustic, like at a place near me, and I don't know why. I guess I expected it to be more high energy, but I guess the acoustic performance, he was like singing a lot of the songs like an octave down, and like it was kind of super boring. So I was like, damn, this isn't really that sick.
Yep.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've seen them put on good acoustic performances. So I don't know. Maybe they're just like having a bad night. But I was disappointed walking out of that show.
I've been disappointed a few times with bands that I thought were going to be awesome. You know, bands whose records that I really loved, or bands that I was excited to see. So, like, for example, and these might be some names you're like, really? Damn. So some of my favorite live shows that I've ever seen. I'm a big, you know me, big metal fan and 70s and 80s rock type fan. So, like, my favorite shows that I've seen that absolutely never disappointed, seen Kiss, Alice Cooper, Motley Crue. Like, those shows, every time that I saw them, super high energy, super amazing live experience. Great. Some live bands that completely were garbage. Here's number one on my list, My Chemical Romance, one of the worst live bands.
I was actually just thinking that.
Yep. I've seen Taking Back Sunday before. I've seen them twice where they were absolutely amazing. I saw them once on Warped Tour in like 2005, and they were just as equally as terrible as My Chemical Romance. That was bad. I saw Stray Light Run. Just in the same vein of Taking Back Sunday, Stray Light Run was the band that the original lineup went on to make, and whenever they kind of split up back on the second album, that band was terrible. Smashing Pumpkins, another absolutely terrible live band as well.
Yeah, I don't really like Smashing Pumpkins at all.
Well. But. I do, and I really was bummed about it. And actually, you know, here's another band that I know we all like that I was kind of bummed about was the 1975.
Yeah.
I saw them, and I thought it was good.
Well, I thought that the live show was great. Like, the band was great. The light show was fantastic. But when I went, it was a lot of... I made this joke. I was like, I know why they're called the 1975, because that's the number of instrumental tracks they're going to play during this set. And their singer just didn't sing at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, their singer didn't hardly sing at all.
Yeah, I could see that, especially with the new album. They hit you with a lot of, like, long instrumentals.
Yeah. I feel like that band's mostly about more the vibe and the aesthetic. I feel like that's the 1975 experience. I feel like it's almost just like this one big image, you know?
Yeah. Love that band though. Love the albums. I was stoked on everything about the live show. The only thing was, is like, I just don't feel like he sang hardly anything. And that was kind of a bummer to me. Cause I'm like, dude, it's just very kind of a bummer to go to a live show and then the singer, who's like the focal point, the front man, isn't really participating all that much. So it's kind of a bummer for me.
Yeah, no, I noticed that too, for sure. He pulls back on the mic a lot.
Yep.
But when it comes to, I guess, the bigger notes, but yeah.
Yeah, look at us just talking trash.
Yeah, no, I love a little gossip, man.
Yeah, just a little gossip. A little
we're in the girls' room.
Sea goss, cast gossip. But yeah, now let me ask you this, since we're just talking about things. Best show, what's the best show you guys have played so far, Reckless or Moonwalker? Your favorite show and your least favorite show?
Favorite show probably would have to be in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Is that how you pronounce it, Mark?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Haverhill.
Yeah, that was cool because that was one of the first places that we played repeatedly as Moonwalker. And that was like a noticeable growth from the last time we were there. And it was like a super small room, but it was easily packed, which I love. And everyone was just really into it. And then for the songs we had out, there was people singing along, which is always so cool. That really blew my mind. So that was amazing. We're going back to that area on this tour, which I'm super excited about.
That'll be nice.
And I guess for the worst show, would have to be probably the Viper Room on the last tour. Just because we went on like super early, and I think it was you know, just no people.
Right.
But that ended up being a great night. Just in general. But then when we came back to the Viper Room on this tour, it was amazing. Like there was a lot of people there, and the bands we played with were pretty sick. We played with Paradise Kitty, which is a Guns N' Roses tribute band.
Nice.
And then we played with Gay CDC, which is AC/DC with a gay twist. And they were all amazing people.
That's fantastic.
They had a really good draw. it was great. And then just LA in general, we had a blast going there. I went to the Comedy Store, saw some comedians. It was great. Got a few drinks, and we went to In-N-Out. It was amazing.
It's hard not to have a great time in Los Angeles.
What about you, Mark?
I guess worst show, I'll pick a Reckless show since we just have more material to draw on. But one of our earlier shows, we played like an actual like Chinese restaurant with like waiters and everything. and so picture like Reckless Serenade. Like we weren't like a heavy band, but we weren't like a restaurant kind of type of band. And so, yeah, we're just playing at this Chinese restaurant in Manhattan. Like people are sitting down eating, like what the fuck is this band doing playing here? And so the whole set, I was just like, yeah, let's get out of here.
That's great. Like, hey, we booked some dinner entertainment for you guys.
Who even booked that show?
And yeah, like people are just trying to eat and they're getting blown away.
Yeah, they're getting blown away with rock riffs.
With sick riffage. Hey, I'm sorry, I dropped some sick riffage in your miso soup. So
can you send this back? There's riffs in here.
There's some riffs.
There's riffs. One time I was working at a Bahama Breeze, and someone got a to-go order and came back and tried to get their money back because they said the devil was in their dish.
The devil was in their dish.
And I was like, that was a first for sure.
Yeah,
that was a weird place.
Beck, well, we'd be more than happy to replace that order for you. I don't think you'll get a refund, but we'll gladly replace it for you.
Yeah, well, what a bummer. You just get like a jerk chicken pasta, and then you find the most evil thing there ever was in your dish.
Literally haunting your dish. Can you imagine the bad luck on that?
Yeah, that's just a bad roll of the dice. That's what we call that in the business.
Yeah. I'm going to have to return this sushi because it's supposed to be raw, but it seems to have been, it looks like it's melted with riffs. My sushi has been melted with face melting riffs. I thought for sure you guys were going to say worst show. And honestly, I can't say that this is the worst show I've ever been to, but just a total bummer because it was such a long drive for nothing was our Reno, Nevada show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. I forgot about that.
Venue was awesome. All those arcade games, all those like classic music, like posters, and like the aesthetic was awesome. And the bartender was awesome. And, you know, he gave us complimentary drinks, but literally didn't promote the show at all. It was one of those things where, like, I don't even know if he remembered that there's supposed to be a show that night. And, yeah, it was not great, but it turned out to be fun. 'Cause you know, we were all together. So that was nice.
Yeah, that is true. And then, were you sick that night too?
Yes, probably, most likely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, the Reno, it's an interesting vibe too on top of all that.
Yeah. Reno's vibe. Like Reno. I'm not trying to judge. Okay. I don't want to be judgmental, but, Reno is like, to me, like the place where say you spent most of your, you know, lifelong nest egg, you know, maybe in Vegas or something. Reno is like where you go after Vegas when you don't have much and you're just scrounging some money around to hit the casino. Like, it just, to me, it just seemed like it was an unglamorous version of like a Vegas resort.
Yeah, that place is a bummer for sure.
Yeah, that's where you go when you're down on your luck, basically.
Yeah, it. I hate to throw Reno under the bus, but
we're throwing the 1975 under the bus. We're throwing Reno, Nevada under the bus. So
yeah, I'm from South Jersey, so I live right near Atlantic City, and what I say is might be a little controversial, but I feel like Atlantic City is a shitty version of Vegas, and then Reno is a shitty version of Atlantic City.
Oh, I've never been to Atlantic City, but I would definitely believe you on that. I have a feeling that you're absolutely accurate, because Reno did nothing for me.
Yeah, yeah, little shots fired right there.
I feel like that was maybe why they put the movie Sister Act, why they set that in Reno, because it's glamorous to a bunch of nuns that have never been outside of a convent. But you know, first Whoopi Goldberg, who like wanted to be a singer, the fact that she's a lounge singer at a casino in Reno, that really puts into perspective just how far her career had fallen.
Is that real?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, the movie Sister Act is set in Reno, Nevada.
Damn.
So Now you have some
damn Reno.
Now you have some insight, guys, on just how crappy of a singer Whoopi Goldberg had to have been.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg.
So, Sister damn. Mary,
what a name.
Clarence. What a name. What an actress. Sister Mary, yeah, Clarence.
My stage name will be Whoopi. Or is that a real name? I don't know.
You know what? I don't know, and it sucks because I can't IMDb it right now, but Whoopi. Yeah, I wonder if that is her real name. Guys, if you're listening out there, please comment, you know, leave a comment on what Whoopi Goldberg's real name is.
Yeah, yeah, we want to know.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping that's an alias.
Dude, I hope it is an alias. Like, okay, well, I was born Robert, but I'm thinking about going by Whoopi. Your thoughts? Forget Bert, man. You know what? From now on, you're Whoopi. You're Whoopi Cruz.
Whoopi Cruz. Damn.
From now on.
That sounds like a disease.
Dude, you were born
Whoopi Cruz.
You were born a Robert, and then you spent some of your adult life as Bert, but you will shuffle off this mortal coil as Whoopi from here on out. Here lies Whoopi Cruz.
Dude, that dude went 6 feet under as Whoopi Cruz.
Yes. That's what your tombstone. It'll say, "Here lies Whoopi Cruz, big heart, bigger dick."
Damn, that would actually be a nice little relief for the funeral. Like, here lies Whoopi. people are like, "Am I at the right funeral? I only want to legally change my name the day before I die, just so no one knows whose funeral they're at." It's like pictures of me everywhere, but they keep saying Whoopi.
Like, dude, am I at the right place? Because I'm looking for Rob Cruz. This is Whoopi Cruz.
Whoopi Cruz.
Mix up the tombstones.
Yeah,
I would definitely write the speech for whoever's talking to. Just like, the dude loved pranks, loved a good whoopee cushion. He played music sometimes, had a few kids, but mostly loved pranks.
Well,
that could be Rob.
That certainly sound like Rob.
Just like him.
That's big enough.
That dude never pranked me once.
Until today. Yeah, you can.
The ultimate prank. Dude.
Yeah, I've been saving it up for years.
Prank for laughs.
But wow. Yeah, perfect. Whoopi or Carnival? Carnival Cruise.
Carnival
Cruise. That's a good one.
That's what I would change my name to if I joined Motley Crue.
Dude, you wouldn't change it to Motley Cruise? No, I changed it to Carnival Cruise.
Carnival Cruise, dude.
That's it.
I remember being like 10 and watching that Carnival of Sins DVD with my friends. And we didn't even like Motley Crue that much. We just thought the titty cam was sick.
Yeah. I remember watching that DVD specifically because I'm like, oh my gosh, these are some of the hottest women I've ever seen. They all have tattoos and their hair is dyed. Whoa, what a delectable set of hot babes.
A bodacious babe.
What a bodacious abundance of hot babes. So yeah.
That's what we were saying at 12.
At 12, yes. When we put our Pokemon down and finally watch Carnival of Sins. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, man.
But guys, I tell you as we're winding down here, Whoopi, Mark, where can people find Moonwalker on the internet?
You can go to moonwalkerband.com, and that'll bring you everywhere you need to be. Or if you just want to look us up on Instagram, it's moonwalkerband, and then Moonwalker on Facebook. We should pop up.
Hopefully I didn't just make all that stuff up.
Yeah, our name's not actually Moonwalker.
It should pop up. I'm not
sure. I don't
know
why you've been calling us Moonwalker.
I don't know if the algorithm, hopefully the algorithm for that will be up that day. Hopefully nothing changes between now and then. So, but Moonwalker Band.
It should work.
On IG. And you guys do Twitter and everything?
Yeah, Twitter is Moonwalker NY, I think.
Don't worry, listeners. We will put it all in the show notes there for you, and I will put it down there, easy links, so you can check those dudes out. Guys, I've had a great time just catching up, dude. I'm glad that we got a chance to do this. We'll have to do a part two shortly, just so we can, continue, keep the good times rolling. And I thank you for taking a little time off. I know you guys are just, as you said, at a pilot in Los Angeles right now, or outside of Los Angeles, recording this with me, and I definitely appreciate it. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having us on, dude. Had a blast. It was definitely nice catching up, man. We missed you.
Well, I miss you too, guys. And keep on wearing those Sean versus Wild t-shirts on tour, and I'll send you some on me as soon as you get home, so hit me up, okay?
Fuck yeah, man.
All right, guys. Well, that's been Moonwalker. That's been the Sean versus Wild podcast, guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, please like, share, and subscribe. And it's on Stitcher, and it's on iTunes, and it's on any of your podcast apps, and YouTube, and Facebook, and Instagram, and all that good stuff. Thanks again, guys, for doing the show. And thanks again, listeners, for tuning in. This has been the Sean versus Wild podcast.